When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
We got to hurry up. This is Knife Talk. We're having nothing but problems today. My name's Jeff Fader from Fader Knives. I'm here with Craig Lockwood of Chop Knives. Knife Talk is a podcast for knife makers, knife enthusiasts, DIYers, wherever you are. However you are, we are with you. Unfortunately,
you sound in stress, Jeff. Just chill out. We'll be okay. We'll be okay.
Oh, we've had nothing but problems this time, but we're here. Unfortunately, Mareko is not here, but that's the way it is. Me and Craig.
Yeah, not through lack of trying. Mareko's there shaking his computer at the moment. Yeah, definitely not through lack of trying, unfortunately. It's just technical issues, they happen.
I think he probably picked it up and searched. You can tell that like Samoan blood was flowing to that head of his. It was just like that nose was kind of coming in and the eyeballs were getting, he was about to punch his computer through the roof.
Yeah. Fucking computers, eh? But anyway, we are here. We have got a show for you. So Jeff's here, a year older than usual.
Yeah.
64 people, some people were led to believe.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Which
by
I
the
found
way.
Particularly yeah. funny. So if anybody didn't see it, I put up on the Knife Talk Instagram, happy 64th to Jeff. And it was amazing to see the replies we had. People saying, 64, wow, he looks good for 64. What's his secret?
Yeah, I'm like the liver king. Yeah. I'm like the fucking, I eat fucking liver and I'm shooting myself. I'm eating liver and testicles. And I'm shooting my ass up with steroids.
Well, here's the thing, Jeff. We won't reveal your real age, but I've got something here called agetest.com. 24 rapid fire questions, and it'll then tell us how old you should be.
So I got to answer these.
You got to answer these quickly. Okay. You ready?
I'm on it all the time.
Are you a realistic person? Yes, no, or sometimes.
Yes.
What is your favorite food? Salads, soup, burgers, chocolate, or steak?
Steak.
Okay. Do you have a high tolerance level? Yes, no, sometimes.
Yes.
How often do you cry? Every day, once a week, once a month, only when I wank.
Only when I wank?
That's not really one, no. It's every day.
The answer is never.
Never. Okay. What's your favorite part of the day? Morning, midday, afternoon, evening, night?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Now it's night.
Night, okay.
I want to go to bed.
We're going to come back. We're going to come back to these because rushing through these 24 of these will be terrible. We'll pepper the show with a few of these. And by the end of the show, we'll have your real age. Your real age.
Right.
Yes.
I feel good, by the way. This has been a good year for us, and I feel this. I mean, just to let you know, regardless of however old you think I am, I was able to fit in my wedding suit. with room to spare from when I was 27. So I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I could fit in with. I'm in better shape now than when I got
Well,
married,
you know what? So. When I was looking for a photo of you to put up to say happy birthday, I was looking through older photos which Google was spitting. I was like, who is this fat fuck? That's not the Jeff I know these days.
Was not a good look. There was in the Epicurious video, I was for sure like stressed and really just not in shape. I really needed like a couple months before that to get squared away. But there were some dudes who wrote in the comments that if I wanted to lose my double chin, I should have shaved under my neck. Oh. If I had shaved under my neck, it wouldn't have looked as
Yeah, we see all those fuckers with that really badly shaved line at the bottom of it. We know what they're doing. We can still see that chin.
Well, P.S., now, just to let you know, since I lost weight over, you know, the past year and a half or something like that, like, the puffiness of my face, the fatness of my face was hiding all the wrinkles. So now, like, I look twice as old because the eye bags I have under my eyes weren't filled with fat. So
I'm sure you're healthier for it, though. That's the main thing. That's the main thing, isn't it?
Well, we'll see. Yeah. How are you? How is your
week? I'm good. Yeah, week's been good. It's been cold. It's gone proper cold, like -4. It's been, and we're having builders in, so the door's always open, and they're smoking outside the door. It's all, it's just like, oh, it's just horrible having people in the house. You don't want to be here, but it's all good. We're just getting stuff ready for Christmas. We've got people over for Christmas, so we're getting a few things done and that kind of thing. So, no, it's good.
Are you? Is Christmas a business time for you, or are you past those days? You're doing mostly kind of customs for restaurants.
Exactly, right? Yeah. So it doesn't really get busier for Christmas for me. If anything, it'll slow down because restaurants are generally busy and they haven't got the time to be dealing with stuff like this. But we find New Year, that's when it gets super busy. They're all back and they're all sort of pumped up, ready, you know, to impress for the next year. So New Year tends to be really busy. But yeah, so it's, you know, business as usual here for Christmas. I take a week off. We've got family over. My wife takes a week off as well. So it's really looking forward to this one because we go skiing the day after Christmas as well. The kids have never been before. So, yeah, lots going on. So it's going to be a good one.
Look at you. Yeah. Well, this is the first year I've actually had inventory. Mm. And it's been – the crazy part is this has been the first year where I've been – I don't – you just go – to the post office on my Fridays. I've been going every day. And I've actually changed the way I do sharpening. It used to be when I'd sharpen my knives, I had to have the shop closed. I couldn't listen to any music. I couldn't have anybody visiting. I was so nervous. Mm. And I changed my sharpening system. I'm back to the Tormek.
Are you using the jig on the Tormek or literally just,
no,
just your hand? Yeah, okay.
No, I'm not using the jig because... I used to hate it because I was using the jig.
Yeah.
But the problem is if you use the jig is great if everything is exact. So there's it's hard to like do any kind of like, you know, it's hard to use the jig if it's not like razor exact. You know, if there's any inconsistencies, you can't kind of like freehand a problem.
Yeah.
Like if one part's getting too thin, you can't really, it's hard to do it. So I stopped using the jig and I'm having such a better reaction with it. And actually what I've done is I've set my contact wheel up on my Broadbeck and I have been going back and forth between the Tormek and then just kind of a, you know, touch up with the 800 on the Tormek with the, not the Tormek, with the Broadbeck with the contact wheel because it's the wheels are the same size.
Ah, okay.
So I'm getting the same... I'm getting like a very similar response and it's been like fast and I've been more comfortable and it's that slowness doesn't take as much material away and I've been getting really great results and I got a guy here now, David's here, so I can't just like tell him to leave. I kind of, you know, so I've been having really, really good responses. However, I will tell you, I was listening to Howard Stern and I was sharpening and I fucked up a knife because he was talking about prostate cancer.
Which is always funny, eh?
Well, here's the funny part. He's the funny part. He goes, he's talking to Robin, his co-host for 40 years, and who's a nurse. And he's been talking about, you know, prostate stuff and dicks and balls.
His co-host
and all that
is
stuff.
A nurse.
Well, she was a nurse.
Oh, I was going to say.
No, she was a nurse. No, she was a nurse in the Army 40 years
ago.
Or
okay,
like
yeah.
But she is very well aware of medical stuff. So they're talking, and I'm sharpening and sharpening and sharpening. And he goes, Robin, did you know that the prostate is part of the asshole? I started laughing so hard. I had to stop. I just turned off the music. I had to fix a problem. I was just like, God damn it. He's like, did you know the prostate's part of your asshole? I, for some reason, it was so funny.
Very good. But I found the same, actually, with a Tormek. I've been using it for years and using that jig, but taking that jig off and doing it by hand, it's just so much easier and quicker.
Right.
I was finding what I was having, I was getting this sort of roll. When you get sort of towards the tip, I was getting this weird sort of roll where it would take off a little bit more and it just didn't look right. But
right before the
exactly,
tip, right?
Exactly, yeah. So, taking off that thing, you can handle it a bit better. Yeah, definitely.
I was one of the things about the Tormek that I didn't realize, and I never used. I used the, and this is not obviously not an ad for Tormek, but I did use the truing tool.
Yes, yeah.
Where you can, that true thing is unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah. You can true the wheel, and it really made a huge difference. But it really, it doesn't, it is a fucking good, as far as electric sharpeners go, that's the only one worth it.
Yeah, I agree. I've used mine for years. I've got like a two, and I use them, yeah, use them a lot. So, yeah.
And I know that, that's what, Tomer uses and Doghouse Forge uses, a lot of guys use it. I think it's a really great system. I'm starting to use it more and more the past year. I've been using it more and more, and I've been getting really good results.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Have you got the Japanese white wheel as well?
No, I only have the two wheels, and then what I'll do is I'll put on an 800 grit belt real slow at the end.
Right, okay.
And then I'll kind of just fine tune the edge with the 800 grit. And then I do like the leather wheel.
Yeah, with a compound.
So I'll load the leather wheel up, and I'll use the leather wheel. I don't use the buffing wheel anymore because I feel like it takes off too much wire edge.
Yeah.
So I'll do the – and now the other thing is – and this is knife making too – is I've been trying to change the way I finish knives. So I used to do the handles every stage. Like if I do 10 of them, I'll do 10 of them every stage. Yeah. But with the handles now, I'm starting to do them one at a time because I'm loading up four grinders with four different belts.
Right. Yeah, so you haven't got to change out. You can just go from one station to the next.
It's like Jonathan Porter did that. He did a video back in the day where he goes from one. He's dancing, going from one grind to the next. And I said I will do that one day, and I just did it. And it's like all of a sudden your life changes.
Yeah.
It's like when you have a right angle grinder. And instead of in just deciding, because right angle grinders are so cheap, why should I have to change out all these wheels? Why don't I just get one right angle grinder for the cutoff wheel, one for the disc sander, one for the wire wheel, and it's changed everything.
Yeah.
You don't have to change out belts and stuff.
It's like faster, drill presses, better. The same principle applies.
Same thing with the drill presses.
Yeah.
More one is none, and none is no. What you do, two is one, and one is none. As they say.
I bet that's great for handles though, because when you're doing a batch. They're never identical. You try to make them as identical as possible, but they never are. And you've always got that one in the batch or something. I got to remember that on that one. I got to remember that on that one. But if you're doing it from start to finish, you know you've got it. You know, makes sense.
Well, I've done so many where like I'll have one grinder with the platen, and then the rest of them slack belts, and then. Now and it's the whole thing has changed the way I think about making them, because sometimes, you know, for batches and stuff like that, it is good to like do every stage the same. But it's like if I'm doing 10 of them or 5 of them, you just get one done. And the other thing is because I have David waiting, like I can't just like have him sit around waiting for me to finish all 10 of them at the same time.
Yeah.
Like I have to change the way I work in order to keep the workflow going in the shop.
Yeah. Makes sense.
It's changed the way having David here has been great, because it makes me think about better ways in which to work. So not only am I keeping myself busy, but I'm making sure that he's busy.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Hey, Jeff, how often do you get angry? Often, sometimes, or never?
Never.
Never. Okay, one more.
Do
you have?
Yeah, let's go with never.
Do you have friends older than you? Yes, many, a few, or none?
Yes.
Many?
Many. Yeah.
Okay, we'll come back to that. Actually, okay. the next one, we won't, because I'll answer this one for you. Do you like to get up early in the morning? Yes or no? That's a fucking yes.
I don't like to, but I do. So let's just say yes.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, we're going to do the next one as well, because I'm curious. Do you care about your style and your image? Yes, no, or sometimes?
Fucking that's... The answer is... I have to say yes, but the answer should be no, but I have to say
everybody
yes.
Everybody does. Okay.
And I have a question for you.
Okay, do it.
What's your favorite heat treating oven?
Well, I've only used the one brand because I've got it and I stuck with it because it's the fucking best. You know what it is?
Knife Talk is sponsored by Evenheat, the manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available. To find your next oven, go to
KnifeTalk.net/heat, because that will take you to Soul Ceramics. They are distributors of Avian Heats. They've got some built. They're ready to go. You get $75 off and free shipping in the US. So I've got that link down in the description. But on a serious note, yeah, even heats, because they just do the job. You know, that I've never had a problem with my even heat, and I've been using it now for what, 6 years, six, 7 years. Never had a single problem, and that thing has moved like through three different shops now with me as well. You know, and being that sort of weight and so on, you know, moving it around, you'd expect something to go a bit wrong, but as good as the day I had it. So yeah, even heat all the way.
All the time.
All the way. Shall we do some questions?
Well, here's what I thought we could do. Now, Mareka's not here, so obviously we're going to have to like play it a little bit different. But we have listener feedback, too. Mm. We have no tough dilemmas. But I figured if we get through, and I have a new bit that I want to start to get the listeners ready for the new year. That's important.
Yeah.
But if I figured if you and I get enough knife talking done, we can fuck around with weird news. I have a weird news that I figured we could talk about at the end.
We've started strong. We were straight on knives today, straight on it.
I know. Maybe, you know, just let's give us the last half an hour. We'll fuck around okay. And do weird news because I get some funny stories. I want to make you laugh.
Okay. Let's have a look then. Again, yeah, we're going to have to filter some of these out because they're obviously specifically for Mareko.
Yeah. I kind of plug them in.
You don't really know what
him.
We're doing, it turns out. But
Well, I mean, you know, that's the thing. It's like the three of us have different voices. Yeah. And what I try to do is when I put the questions in, I try to think, oh, this one's good for Mareko. Maybe we'll start off with that. And then, you know, obviously you don't want to do 10 for one of us. Mm. So I try to like even them all out. So
yeah. Okay. I've got one here. J Mod Knives. What's up, guys? If you're using whetstones to get your final edge, does it matter what kind of stones you use? What's the difference between the cheap ones and the ones that are $50 a stone? Also, any recommendations, affordable, nice whetstones? Thanks for always keeping me entertained in the shop. Are you using any whetstones at all, Jeff, or have you?
I have bought whetstones, and the whetstones I bought were when I was in culinary school, and they just told me to get a kit that came with the whetstones.
Right, okay.
I've never really bought expensive ones. I know you can get natural ones. Yeah. And I know that Mert Tansu has like all these like super duper expensive natural ones and stuff like that, but I don't really know for that.
Yeah, I've only had one set that I think the brand is King. I think King whetstones weren't too expensive, but again, going back to the it sounds as if we're promoting Tormex here, but we're not. But yeah, so I use that rather than the whetstone. But with regards to cheap ones and more expensive ones, I would imagine there's a certain sort of hardness, and I'd imagine cheap ones may wear away easier. I don't know. Yeah.
I would think some of it's really based on the real measurement of the grit. Like, some of them are, I would imagine that they're like poured, mm. but they're not like, you know, these two-tone ones, these two-sided
yes,
ones are
yeah,
lined.
Yeah.
You know, they're,
yeah.
they're
we found this naturally. Like, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's what a lot of guys have is that, I mean, remember old Kasumi Kev, mm. he had those natural stones and it was like for that super duper, like mirror polish, you know, crazy, crazy stuff. I mean, obviously you can go up to 10,000 grit and beyond.
Mm, yeah.
And you know, I saw Jerry Fisk use what he does, and a lot of these guys do, is they'll roll the window down of a window of a car, and they'll use the top of the window, and apparently the edge of your top of your window has enough abrasives for sharpening too. You see these people using the undersides of their ceramic plates as well.
Yeah.
But I mean,
it's the unknown then, I think, isn't it? That's the thing.
I'm terrible with whetstones. And the only reason why is because like I always end up dishing them out or something like that.
Yeah.
I really like, you know, I have one that looks like, I mean, it looks like someone sat their balls on it. You know, it's like a fucking dip. Someone sat on it or something.
It looks cool though. Seeing people using them well, it looks as if, well, that could be quite a relaxing thing to do, you know, but in reality, when you've got orders on the go, you know, you haven't got the time to be doing that. But
well, some people do. I know Steve Pellegrino, he finishes with whetstones. And I know that Mareko does too. I mean, that idea, those last finishing strokes, I completely understand.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. But I think that I think that whetstones are dynamite for fixing up your knife. Mm. I'm not 100% sure if you're a custom knife maker, unless you're making super duper expensive knives. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we should get a sharpening guy on one day. Get him on with the accountant. You know?
yeah, yeah. Accounts and whetstones. That'd be an episode. Do you want to take Joe's?
Sure. Joe Cunningham says, here's a question. If you're building your shop equipment from scratch and you're working on a budget, would you consider spending a bit more to buy an Evenheat instead of a forge, knowing that you will be forging Damascus? Even though it might not be as efficient, could you essentially forge out of an Evenheat? While the cost of the forge may be lower, the advantages of an Evenheat clearly outweigh a forge. It's apples and oranges.
Yeah, I mean, forging out of an Evenheat, I mean, that's not what they're for. I can't imagine you could, you know, efficiently.
The hardest part is going to be, like, I can imagine you could use, if you need to hold your steel at a specific temperature one time, perfect. I mean, that's a good idea. You could probably, if you needed to set a, I don't know if you could set a weld with an Evenheat. But the problem is the second heat.
Yeah.
It's going to take you forever.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, the first one, you know, if you need to get up to 1,500 degrees, it's going to take you, let's just say it's probably going to take about 45 minutes or an hour, depending on what kind of electrical you're using.
Yeah, and in this fuel crisis, which we're all facing, I think the cost would massively outweigh a forge. So as much as we're huge fans of Evenheats, it's not really for forging, you know?
Well, what would you? Let's just do a pro and con of forge versus Evenheat and forge and kiln. What would be the benefits? Why would you pick? Because this is something that a lot of people have.
Yeah.
Like, what should I get? Should I get a forge or should I get a kiln?
When I started with just a really shitty. They're called devil forges. They're cheap. They got two burners on them. They're open both ends. There's no back. There's, you know, it's not fully sealed in any way. And that was, I don't know what, the equivalent of sort of $200, I'd imagine. And I was doing heat treats from them because I wasn't forging knives. It was flat stock. But I was doing heat treats in them. And the problem is, it's just a crapshoot. You don't really know.
Right.
Then having an Evenheat, the difference was just huge. And, you know, I'm lucky enough now to have a tester as well. And I've still got drawers full of old knives, which I've done using the forge. And there's just no consistency there. You know, so I wouldn't be happy now selling a knife that which I'd heat treated from my forge. Not to say that some people aren't doing amazing things that way. They definitely are. But it just takes the guessing out for me. So it was, it's just definitely worth getting an Evenheat as early as you can.
For me, I got my first Evenheat because I was doing stainless. I got the opportunity to do stainless. In the beginning, I couldn't do stainless, and Kyle Daly was heat treating the stainless for me. And I wanted to be doing it myself. And it was very much along the lines of, like, you know, he's busy and all of a sudden he's got a thing and there's a thing, and I all of a sudden I have no control over the heat treating. So I got the small one, the 120.
Yeah.
And it worked great, but it was never a question of forging Damascus or something like that. If I were not a knife maker and I was a blacksmith, I would want to forge. I couldn't imagine using a heat treating oven unless I was making tools. Mm. And I know that guys have been using forges to heat treat their hammers for as long as people have been making hammers. If the thinking would be, if you're going to make Damascus, you need both. You need the heat treating oven. And you need the kiln. And it's unfortunate that you have to make that decision, but it's just like, it's the same question of, like, people said, should I get a power hammer or should I get a press? They both do different things, but the heat treating oven and the forge will only get you so far, and the heat treating oven will only get you so far. So it's like, you kind of need, I mean, if you want to do all that, you should have both.
Mm. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And the other thing is like, for a forge, for Damascus, a one burner forge might not be enough. Like, I have a one burner forge that I built years ago, and it was not getting the steel hot enough to set a weld. And I ended up getting a three burner NC forge because I just needed more heat. I needed more efficiency and stuff like that. And not to plug our friend Brian House, but apparently he's making these super high-end forges, these ribbon burner forges. So you should go check out what he's doing.
Yeah. What are those? Yeah. What are those induction forges? They look interesting, don't they? But I think it's just so localized, the heat with them, isn't it? You're not going to be able to heat a whole billet.
I got to use a Cliff got one,
right?
And Cliff Dufton, CJ Dufton got I've seen them before, and
it's
they're
like magic.
Wild.
It's magic. Yeah,
it is like magic. Yeah. If you're the great thing is that the, you know, a lot of guys there's some Chinese companies selling them relatively inexpensive, and like Chris Zepps got one, and he was doing like you can get different coils to allow you to go into the element in different angles. Like he showed one that's almost like a clamshell that he could, instead of sticking it through the hole, he could kind of put it through the side. So you can change the coils to localize the steel. I don't think, if I were making a chef knife, I can't imagine anything worse than having to use an induction forge because you're getting this one spot. Yeah. Now, if you're doing what they do at the New England School of Metalwork is they'll use the induction forge to soften the tangs. So they'll soften the tangs, or if you wanted to do like perfect, what I would do if I were doing the Lin Ray style blacksmith knife, where he has to set the rivet when the tail comes back and then it comes into the Rocasso, that might be an awesome way to not have to heat the whole knife up to heat something up in the middle.
Yeah.
So, but they're really
specific tasks like that. They could be really handy, but not for a whole like setting a weld on a billet. Yeah.
I think it'd be crazy. You see guys putting hot dogs in there and cooking their hot dogs in and stuff like that. It's just like, it is totally bananas. And it's a great kit. And what's interesting is something we talk about a lot is the standardization of these like industrial pieces of equipment is like how easy they are for people to get. And it is kind of neat.
Yeah.
But
well, if you look at,
I'd stay away from an induction, unless you're making like, I can't see an induction forge being helpful to a lot of knife makers, unless you're making small shit.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
And that's an electric device that localizes the heat. So you're getting, instead of, we were talking about whether or not a kiln would be helpful. Those guys can heat a section up super duper fast, and it's all electrical. And apparently, I don't know how the power works, but they're pretty slick.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
All right.
That was knife talk.
Yeah. Leroy Knives has sent a question. And again, if you've got a question, we are Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. DM us. We've got a big list of questions, but we will get to eventually. He says, hey, Cuties, I've got two problems. I use 3M masking tape on my blades, but it leaves dots of oxidization on carbon steel. And he said, what do you use to protect the blade? And for my second problem, I'm making my first friction folder with a handle made of one piece of boxwood. What pin would you use as an axis? Right now I have 3mm brass rod and 3mm stainless steel rod. And a cheeky third question. I want to buy a good belt grinder in Europe. I wanted to have your opinion on this brand I've just found called Lion's Process. Never heard of them. Don't know. But we'll come to that grinder in Europe in just a sec. Let's start at the beginning. 3M masking tape, it's leaving dots of oxidization on his carbon steel. So what do you use to protect the blade, Jeffrey?
I learned a trick from you on this podcast, Craig. You said that you sometimes, years ago on an episode, you said sometimes before you put the tape on, you'll hit it with a slick of oil or some wax.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did that now because that same thing happened to me, especially if you leave the tape on like over the weekend or something. I don't know what's on that tape. I don't know why it does it, but it does definitely oxidize portions of the knife.
And what tends to happen then as well is that tape that you then use once it's been waxed will almost harden and almost become like a bit of a sire, which you can take off and off easily. It's not stuck to the blade. And I'll quite often use that on a bunch of knives.
That was the top tip was because I do that now all the time because I'm terrified I'm gonna fuck everything up.
Yeah.
So I use a coat of axe wax and then or oil or something and then I'll wrap it up in tape and then that works perfect and I don't have to worry.
Yeah. I mean, there are times where you don't want it to slide off, but if that's the case, you just put a wrap of tape around the heel to stop it sliding off. But most of the time, I don't do that, so I can just take it on and off as I please. Yeah, it makes it super simple. A knife condom.
The next question. The next part of the question is a great question. So he's got a friction folder, and he wants to know what the pin should be.
Okay. definitely stainless steel. Brass will wear out so much quicker, and you'll end up with slop. So stainless steel, which can be a real pain, particularly if, as you know, I did a run of brass handled folders, and having to have that one little dot of stainless in the brass was a real got to me. But yeah, you can't really use brass because it will wear out, and before you know it, there'll be slop there, and you know, the knife won't be as effective.
There's a couple of other things, and I've actually tried some things. I used a copper rivet, which was the dumbest of all time. Mm. If you're using a rivet, what you don't want to happen is the inside of the bar itself to distort inside. You want the rivet to mushroom out on the outsides, but the inside should not move. This isn't like if you're making a pair of tongs and you're putting a hot rivet in, and then you're forging it down, then you're sticking the whole thing in to heat up and to condition the rivet. That's not what you're doing with a friction folder, especially if it's got a wood handle. Mm. You know, so you really want something that's stout. You're exactly right. Stainless steel. I on my friction folders, I use mild steel. The most important thing is you just want to make sure that your levels of your rivet are correct. You don't need a quarter of an inch of rivet to hang out. You just need enough to mushroom over, because what happens if you have too much and you decide, all right, I got to move this down, you'll mushroom it out, but you'll also drop, you'll put some of that material inside and it'll tighten up, and then all of a sudden you're kind of stuck. You have to kind of wear it away, which is a disaster.
Yeah.
So that's a big problem. You don't want to upset the steel inside the hole.
Yeah.
If
you want it completely flush so there's no mushroom, obviously you put a very, very tiny countersink in, and then you mushroom into what the countersink is.
Right. But he's using boxwood.
He's using wood, yes. Yeah. So he's going to have a sort of mushroom. You're not going to crush that.
Unless you had a, if you, that's why I use rivet. That's why I use those washers, like the washers, because you're not smashing it into the handle itself. I mean, that's why you see a lot of old school friction folders. They have a tiny brass washer, and what that does is it's kind of like, it doesn't drive into the original hole. It's kind of like, it makes sure that it mushrooms over the hole, so you're creating that rivet. I'm getting to the point where this coming year, I want to start doing a run of friction folders, and I'm trying to figure out the best ways to do it, because I figured out how I could do it. So, you know, partially laser cut, partially forged, but I really want to make sure. My biggest fear is with the friction folders, I don't really sell them often. I sell them to like makers and stuff who can adjust, you know, as things change. But I wanted to figure out a way where I could make something very simple, and I might go to some sort of like mechanical fastening for the pin, just because I need something a little bit more permanent.
Yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't change.
Yeah. I'm just looking at Lion's process here. So he's asked about grinders in Europe. He said, what do you think of Lion's process? And I've never heard of them, so I'm just looking on their website. They're based in France by the looks of things. The website's in French anyway, I assume so. But I don't know. I've never used one, so I couldn't tell you. But what I do know is Broadbeck do ship to Europe. There's obviously going to be taxes involved, but just give them a call. Speak to them, because they'll be able to tell you what that would be. And because they are very cost-effective, it may be cheaper than buying in Europe. But go have a look. Jeff uses one. Mareko uses one.
I use two.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. More than one.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. They're unbelievable grinders. They're my the best grinders in the game. I have had a pile of them, and nothing comes close to it at Broadbeck. And if you go to BroadbeckIronworks.com and put a promo code KnifeTalk200, you will get $200 off some of their packages. And if you put in KnifeTalk100, you'll get $100 off the leather sewing machine, the sharpening system, which is a dynamite little system, and the surface grinder. So go to Broadbeck Ironworks and check it out. I mean, I tell you what, man, I have one that's 220. I have one that's 120. They're just dynamite. Mm. And the Mareko Platin is hard to beat. It's the best platin in the game.
Yeah.
So,
and as I said, they do ship to Europe. Quite a few people have had them. I know they are looking for European distributors as well. So it's going to be more and more common that you'll see them in Europe. But give Vince a call. He'll explain to you how it works, you know, shipping them across, taxes, all that kind of stuff. And hopefully they can work something out for you.
There you go.
Okay, Jeff, I've got a question for you.
Shoot.
What would you do if you won the lottery? Would you You've got to answer one of these. You can't pick anything else. Buy a new car. Would you party? Would you add money to savings? Would you buy a yacht or would you buy a new house?
I'd buy a house. Hillary needs that new house. We need to move.
Okay.
When my kid gets into college, we got to get out of here. We need a smaller house.
Yeah. What has the highest value to you? Fun, loyalty, or happiness?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Fun and happiness are kind of the same, right? Happiness. I'm going
with
happiness.
You're going to go
Loyalty's a tough one.
You're going with happiness.
The funny thing about, you don't want to talk about how old I'm getting, is my wife and I, we're only a month apart. We're both looking to, when we move, we want to get a one-floor house because we don't want to go up and down the stairs.
Well, do you know what's really weird about that? The house that we live in now is like a big old farmhouse, like in the middle of nowhere. But next, we do have a neighbor next door. They're an old couple, but that was originally part of this house, and this house is over 200 years old. And at some point, they split up. It's a tiny one bedroom house next door to us. They live 6 months of the year in Spain and sometime in the UK, and they spend about 3 or 4 months of the year here. So it's actually attached to our, it's quite weird, it's attached to our house, this little thing. And they're selling it. And we were like, well, it's got more value to us than to anybody else because we don't want...
Oh my God, so you're going to buy it?
I think we are. But it's like Amy was saying, it's like, it's got a bedroom downstairs, there's no stairs. And I'm thinking, I know I'm older than you, but come on. I could see exactly where she was angling to say, this is perfect for you in the future. You can move into this little tiny little annex of the house. You.
That's what my wife and I want to like simplify. We want to simplify. When Lila goes to school, we want to simplify, get a one floor house.
Yeah.
No more stairs.
Simplify. That's we've got builders traipsing around the house. So simplifying is the dream at the moment. But hey.
You're like multiplying. You're not simplifying.
I know. We've got an
issue. You're unbelievable. The past 5 years with you has really been quite a trip.
Quite a trip, yeah.
I mean, when you had Mareko and I start in, you know, your wife was pregnant, like the first like 5 episodes, yeah. And then fifth episode, they gave birth.
Life changed.
And then we've been watching your life like... multiply a million fold.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. Hey, Jeff, have you ever gone through hard times, yes or no?
I wouldn't say hard times.
Okay. And one final question before we move
on. Go ahead.
Do you care about the environment? Yes, no, or sometimes?
Yes.
Sometimes.
Yes.
Oh, I've got to keep going. I keep saying I'm going to move
ahead.
On.
Go ahead.
Do you want to live alone? Yes, no, or sometimes.
Fader men don't live alone. That's a no.
That's a no, yeah.
We're incapable.
Jeez.
Fader men are incapable of living alone.
I'd be right on the sometimes there. I would be. But this is made for you, this question, Jeff.
Go ahead.
How often do you miss a deadline? Always, sometimes, or never?
Never.
Oh, you could see that one coming.
Never.
Okay.
Never.
Would you like to go on a trip abroad in the next 3 months? Yes or no?
I am.
Yes, okay. And are you very emotional? Yes, no, or sometimes?
No.
Okay, we might as well go through this.
Go ahead.
Where would you like to live, in the city or in the countryside?
If I'm older?
Now.
Shit. Now I want to live in the country, but
In
a couple of years I'd love to live in the city.
Okay.
Let's go with the city.
This is a good one. How often do you sing? Often, sometimes, or never?
Never.
Really?
Never.
Wow.
I'm terrible. I sound awful. I mean, it's like, it's not good.
Do you want to grow up? Yes, no, or sometimes?
Yes.
Okay.
I did.
We've got 3 questions left.
Go ahead.
Do you enjoy laughing at other people? Yes, no, or sometimes?
All the time. Oh my God. Schadenfreude is like my middle name.
Do you enjoy reading books? Yes, no, or sometimes?
No.
No. Do you have a plan for the future? Yes or no?
Yes.
Of course you do. You're Jeff Fader. And your gender, male, female, or other?
Fucking male.
Let's put male in. Okay, this is your real age according to agetest.com.
Okay.
You ready for this?
All the time.
31. You're just a
fucking good,
just a big kid. That's what it says.
Wow, that's great. 31. Wow. Holy shit.
Nice one.
I don't even remember what it was like when I was 31.
Black and white. Everything was black and white when you were 31.
I mean, when I was 31, it was a different ball. I'll be honest with you because I know I'll be getting my balls broken about this. I wouldn't change myself. If I could take years off my life, I wouldn't do it. Mm. I mean, like, be younger. This past 3 years, I have gotten so much more like attuned to my age. Mm. I feel like it really is like, I'm very fortunate to be in the situation I am and the person that I am.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I can only,
I know the meaning of life, Craig.
I can only dream to, you know, you've got a kid who's sort of come up to 18 and going away to college. I can only dream of those times at the moment because 3 a.m. every morning, we've got kids crying. There's people pissing the bed. It's just, we're going through hard
there's
times.
There's people pissing the bed.
Well, we've got twins.
Is that you?
We have twins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So people,
yeah,
I mean,
I'm looking forward to those times. Yeah.
All right. Well, guess what? Get older because you'll get, I know the meaning of life. I'm very, and I'm not even kidding. So.
What's the meaning in life in one sentence?
Dude, you're not one of these DMers asking me how to fix a plunge line. I'm not going to give it to you like that. You're too young. You're like a fetus. You're like a fucking sophisticated fetus. You're not old enough to know the meaning of life.
Young Padawan. Okay. Drop Test Media. After seeing Jeff's latest handle creation, I got to thinking about handle shaping. How do you guys design your handles size-wise? Is it what's comfortable to you, or do you have a generic size that fits most? Thanks for all the great info and laughs.
That's a great question.
It is. It is. I mean, because I do runs of knives, my handles are basically the same. I laser cut, you know, 500 knives at once, so they're all the same. So yeah, it takes a while to get to that point where there's a few iterations until it's comfortable. And comfortable for me, I suppose. That's the only way I suppose I could do it. And just, you know, you want something that is as least offensive to as many people as possible, I suppose. But when it comes to table knives, mine are very sort of shapeless. They just rounded off. There's no real contours as such to them. But a chef knife, which, you know, fills the hand a bit more and you hold differently, that one will be contoured. But it's very generic, because if I'm doing 500 at a time, they're going to be the same.
I have changed my opinion on chef knife handles for so many years. I had these different ideas. In the beginning, I used to think, who cares? You're holding in the pinch position, you're holding it this, it just shouldn't matter. And I started to realize, and they were fine. They're huge. The handles are huge. Mm. And then I started getting smaller and smaller. I had a customer came in. She said, I have small hands. And then I was like, all right, let's. And I made a small handle for her. And when I held it, I was just like, this is the handle size I like. Mm. And it was way smaller than I expected. And I wouldn't have gotten there unless somebody wanted something very specific. I've gotten to the point now where next year we're going to be doing runs of Hidden Tang knives. And I'm simplifying them. And for Wah-style handles, I was like obsessed with the octagon shape. And I did it because with forging hammers back in the day, I learned from Fred Chris, who's one of the best blacksmiths in the United States. He used to have an octagon shaped handle for his hammers. So I started to think, well, I'm going to do that too. And now I'm starting to realize less is more. I made a Color Lab handle. It was almost like a rectangle, a rounded rectangle, simple.
Yeah.
And I was like, I like this.
Yeah.
And it did everything. And now I'm going to do this run of frame style Color Lab handles for next year. They're all going to be super simple. They're going to be almost like a rounded cornered rectangular handle. Mm. With just no frills.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sure we've all got favorite knives in the drawer that we use, you know, we just grab instinctively each time. And the knife that I use daily more than any other knife, more than, you know, the knives that I make myself, is simply just a rounded handle. And it's one of Thoma's, I think it's an F2, I think it was, about 5 years old. And it's just rounded, and there's a slight curve to it, and that's just, it's just super comfortable. You know, it's not, it's not, you know, it hasn't got any crazy shapes. It's just literally rounded.
Thoma's handles they feel great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of it's because his handles have, everyone seems to think it's it, part of its leather spacers. Mm. That you can't make his stacked handles without something with some give. And he had to use leather in order to make that curve. Otherwise, there needs to be a degree of compression.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's something about that leather that gives you a little bit of, just a tiniest bit of grip. And it's just, there. I mean, the designs that he has done is just really complimentary.
Yeah, yeah.
He should be commended. He should be given an award or something. Yeah.
Every,
I'm going back out there. Did you know that?
You are, really? When are you going?
Yeah, we didn't really announce it yet, but this summer we're going to have two sets of classes.
Nice.
So we're going to do one weekend, another weekend. We haven't released the dates yet, but we've got a video that our man Max Mexo made, and I'm definitely going to be back in the summer.
Very nice, very nice. But yeah, I use that knife every day. It's my go-to, and it's just complete and utter workhorse, you know? It's, yeah.
I think in regards to just for drop test media, and this is something for other knife makers, I usually tell people, you know, if you're making culinary knives, you should cook. And it's not, you have to be a good cook. Like, you just have to, the best cooking that you can do is to be in that flow state where you're just picking up tools and you're just working.
Mm.
And the things that I notice the most, and I have a pile of knives from good friends of mine and stuff like that, I use my knives only now because I like them and I want to see what I like. And some of the littlest things that I notice is the rounding of the spine, is the rounding of the heel.
Mm.
Those are the things that I notice the most with knives. And just to let you know, and I don't know if you know this or not, Craig, most of these manufacturers of knives can't do, one of the reasons why custom guys are better than the standards is because the production guys cannot do things like rounding the spine or rounding the choil or rounding the heel. They can't do it. Their machines can't do it, or they don't want to spend the money. That's why you can get one of them knives for $100.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have the ability to make it a more comfortable knife for the simplest things.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's a lot of knife talk here.
It is. Jeez.
Wow. And if you were going to round your spines, what kind of belts would you use?
I'd definitely use combat abrasives. It's what I've been using for, 7, 8 years now. Never let me down. And we can get them cheap for you, too.
Combat Abrasives makes the world's best abrasive belts for knife makers. Available in any size at unbelievable prices. Go take a look at combatabrasives.com and get 15% off with promo code KNIFETALK15. Do it now.
Do it now, indeed. I tell you what, Jeff, if you were Canadian, where would you get yours?
I would go to Maritime Knife Supply, because Maritime Knife Supply not only has kilns, abrasives, and forges and all the knife making stuff that you need, they are the sponsor of they are the distributor of Broadbeck Ironworks, and they're the distributor of Combat Abrasives, and they are just as fast as anybody else if you're in the United States. Lawrence does a lot of great stuff for knife makers in the community and, you know, the maker community at large. He's got everything, and every time, the one thing I hate to talk about is when I say, I wonder if he has on a podcast, because he'll always DM me, say, I have that. So if you think that he doesn't have it, I'm guaranteeing you he will have it or he'll get it. So Lawrence has been great at Maritime Knife Supply. And if you get if you get belts from him, if you get a pack of 10, you'll get 10% off on a pack. So you get one free for the most part.
Yeah. And to be honest, I'd say that with all of our sponsors as well. We don't take on any sponsorship. We turn down loads. But it's because they're makers, they're part of that community. So if you've got a question for them, you know, do you have that or could you get hold of this for us? Just reach out to them. They're not huge corporations. They've all got a human face and they'll all help you out.
I mean, Even Heat is Spence, and that's a whole family, the family out in Michigan. The Broadbeck guys, Maritime Knife Supply, they're like good people.
We got a new sponsor coming on next week, Jeff.
All right, let's save it for that.
Just
to let you know, if you want to keep going with this, we can keep going with this. We have been doing a good job. We also have listener feedback. We don't have any tough dilemmas, but we do have, and we don't have any more knife Karens. We do have weird news at the end, and I want to start to prepare for us to do a new bit for the new year.
Oh, and beefs, yeah, beefs for new year
and
too.
Beefs.
Yeah, yeah.
And beefs.
Okay, let's have some listener feedback then. It's always good to hear from our lovely listeners.
We always get great listener feedback, and if you want to send us listener feedback or questions or tough dilemmas or beefs, we need beefs for the All Beef Review coming up. We've got a good amount, but I want to make sure we have more than enough that we can really have a good laugh. You go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram, and then you can send us a DM. I'll usually do a kind of a bat signal for people to start to send us the DMs, and you guys have been great. And this one comes from Paul Jansen. And last week we were talking about zombies. We're talking about that whole zombie knife thing, or what would you use? Mm. And he goes, here's some zombie question feedback. Craig isn't wrong to pick an axe for protection and for food prep. I have a carpenter's tool, a hatchet with a hammer on either side, that I carry in my truck for various jobs on the farm. I use it to clean a deer start to finish. It's sharp enough to separate the meat in various cuts and still be able to chop bones. Not an obvious choice, but better than half shovel Serbian cleavers.
There we go.
So he says you were right. This is a real guy. He's a real guy on a farm. He says you were right.
Well, I often go out and clean a deer with my axe. Yeah.
Yeah. You rub them. Yeah, I know. I can see you giving a deer a bath, but I couldn't see you.
I got to say, there's lots of deer around here as well on the road. Yeah, they often have to break because they're running in front of me and so on. But yeah, I've never had the desire to go out and.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Fun fact, I heard the Liver King say that in regards to all testicles, deer testicles are the tastiest.
Oh, wow. Okay. And he's tried them all. Right.
they asked him of all the balls, which one tastes the best? And he said, and he goes, well, I hate to say that I know this, but deer balls are the best.
Wow. The left
and
one.
Then they asked him what about semen? And he goes, well, I don't know about that. And they're like, yeah, we think you know about that. It's actually really funny. Shout out to Andrew Schultz, the Flagrant too. Those guys are the best.
Yeah.
All right. David Logan Bill says, I would want, this is back to the what your zombie knife would be. I would want Craig's tactical butter knife with a rail gun attachment. That would get me through the entire apocalypse.
Jesus Christ.
Justin Miller says, we were talking about problematic customers, and I guess I had said this expression. He says, please make, I'll make whatever you want, you fuck, t-shirts. So apparently I said, so I'll make whatever you want, you fuck.
We'll have to blade next year.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll make whatever you want, you fuck. It's a good shirt. Will Miller, I guess, so we were talking about Will Miller. He says, Craig is blocked. I am blocking him because we were reading about it. He had a question about insurance and you started yawning. He's a good dude.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Plumley Knives says, I loved Mareko's expression when Jeff brought up the Servian cleaver on the last episode. I think the exact quote was, ugh. It seems many people want one, but seeing them in the wilderness reels where a guy cooks food over a fire, but most knife makers I've talked to can't stand it.
Mm. Yeah.
You see those? You've seen those Serbian cleavers.
Oh, yeah. Those massive. Yeah. They're no good for anyone, are they, really?
I saw, now that Christmas is coming around, there's a couple of companies that are selling those Serbian cleavers, and you see these guys pulling them out of the you know, wrapping paper, and they're just like, wow, this is amazing. But when you see the spine is like a quarter inch thick.
Yeah.
This thing is a fucking monster.
Yeah. Enough to me.
We got, that's about it. Last one from Dustin Springfield. Yo, KTP, the Damascus Chef Invitational with you all was such a blast, loads of fun. I was putting together an induction forge at work. Can't wait till it's up and running. Know any good sources for tips and tricks? I'm hoping it works well for forging up billets. Well, we just talked about that for a little bit. Mm. Dustin, I would suggest watching. You know what? Get a hold of Chris Zepp over at Make Everything because he's all up in that. He got that he's sticking his penis in the induction furnace. He loved that thing. He's all in the induction furnace. So Make Everything Shop. I think he's probably going to do videos on it. And I'm sure if you reached out to him, he would be able to put you in the right position for.
If he's not dead by then, because I see some of the videos that he's doing, just like, what the hell? He's going to kill himself very soon.
Did you see the aluminum city bike he welded into a three-person bike?
No.
Do you know what a city bike is?
It's one of those like rental bikes on the street, isn't it? Yeah.
The electric bike. So he took three, chopped them up, and put them three together. Wow. And they're called city bikes, and they spray painted and said shitty bike. And then they made, it was a great video with his friend Anthony Panza.
Yeah.
They did this video where they were driving around New York City in this bike that he welded up.
I've seen him cutting down trees with circular saws and all sorts. It's just like,
I just ordered some more of his shirts, frankly. I love his shirt. He's got these shirts that say, don't die on the back. Yeah. And you know what? I think it's a great shirt. I like Chris very much. I've seen him not often enough. I like Chris.
Yeah.
So I was walking my dogs. This was crazy. I was walking with my wife, and I had the shirt on. And on the front it says Make Everything Shop, and on the big in black it says Don't Die. So we're walking along. My wife and I are having this nice conversation, and this guy says, "What if you're already dead?" And it was like this older dude, and it was like, and my wife was like, "Oh my God." He freaked the fuck out. I'm like, what? What? He goes, your shirt. I was like, what are you talking? I had no idea what he was talking about. And he starts yelling, what if you're already dead? I was like, just beat it.
Back off.
Fucking guy. What are you talking
about? Hey, I'm walking here. Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, we're reading my t-shirt. I once had this t-shirt back in the day. And this will be the last. My sister had a bookstore and she would get t-shirts all the time from different books companies, and one of them said bad behavior. So when I was in high school, I was walking around the city of New York with this shirt that said bad behavior. It was a book or something like that. These old women would click their tongues at me. Oh, did you see what his shirt says? He's bad behavior. I fucking love that shit. Old bitches. There you go.
Where are we going? Should we do a couple of questions?
We could do some questions. We got to talk about the new bit, and then I say we finish this motherfucker. Let's be strong with knife questions.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the new bit. We'll maybe do a beef or two, and then I want to do podcast weird stories.
Okay. Well, let me tell everybody about Dharmasteel first. We just mentioned them for the Dharmasteel Chef Invitational, which we do every year, which is always a fun time. But, you know, they make amazing steel. So if you're into a Damascus, which is stainless, they do beautiful, beautiful patterns. Just go take a look at Dharmasteel Lab on Instagram. You'll see the kind of stuff people are making with it. Amazing stuff. They're great people too. So, you know, if you've got any questions regarding Dharmasteel, just reach out to them. They're very nice people. Dharmasteel.se is the website. If you create an account and make an order, if you use Knife Talk and when you're checking out as a promo code, you'll get 10% off too. But yeah, go take a look. Dharmasteel.se. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. Big fans of these.
Yeah, and it's easy to heat treat. It really is. If you can heat treat stainless, you can heat treat Dharmasteel very easily.
Yeah. And Jeff's an award winner Dharma Steel artist now.
I once again, it was, and if you talk to other people, you talk to Fingal, who uses a pile of Dharma Steel. Mm. The etching is 10 times easier than regular Damascus. There's no funniness. There's no bullshit. It's like, how come this is so easy to work with?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Go get some.
Okay. Where you want to go? You want to go with Legacy Blades?
Where are we in the list? Yeah, you take that one and I'll find where we are. Yeah.
Okay. Legacy Blades says, here's a question for you guys. What are you using to secure your segmented scales together? I've used G-Flex epoxy to stick G10 segments liner, but recently saw someone doing it with Gorilla Glue. I'm all for the glue idea if it's durable. No mixing epoxy, faster cure time. I would still secure the scales to the tang with pins and epoxy, but for the construction of the handle, what do you think? Love the show. Thanks as usual. Jared.
I've only done segmented scales maybe 2 or 3 times. Just because they're a ball ache. You need to make sure that the fit is very good to begin with. What I'd always say is make sure you have a pin in every part. So you're not just relying on that epoxy. I mean, the ones that I've done, I use very sort of thin liners, sort of 2-3 mil liners. And they're obviously flexible. So when you're working with it, they could easily pop off, I suppose. But I'm not the best to give advice on that because I haven't done many of them at all. But the one thing I would say is you want to try and get a fix in on every part, I suppose, because you do want them popping.
Well, it just happens to be that I have gone through different stages.
Yeah.
And one thing that just using liners, it used to be a speed thing. And if I had time, I would use like a G-Flex or that kind of stuff. But I started to realize I wanted something a little bit more. I didn't want anything flexible. Like I didn't want G-Flex still has a little bit of flex to it. I wanted something that was kind of going to harden up and thin, like a thin membrane. So I do for all my handle for my Color Lab stuff. I use that Ben Smith Industries. Ben Smith Industries. It's a higher end CA glue. I think it's Ben. Smith, Bob Smith, Bob Smith, my bad. It's Bob Smith Industries. He has different thicknesses. He's got ultra thin, medium, and super thick. And what I've noticed is you don't have as much time to kind of lock everything together, but it hardens and it makes, I find that the bond is damn good. And I've been using I put pins in different spots, and I'm very conscious of, that's one of the reasons why I use my dowels, because I'm kind of putting in extra support in there. I have never, ever had anything pop off. The only time I have anything I haven't had anything pop off. And that Bob Smith industry stuff is so goddamn hard that the wood, if I'm, you know, just doing a couple dabs to get the holes in the wood between the scales, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
For the pinholes. I'll put a couple dabs, and when I break it apart, the wood will break before the super glue breaks. Mm. So that's what I do. But if I have time, or like if I'm just doing regular, nothing to write home about scales, I've been using Total Boat. Total Boat makes great, I mean, this is not an ad for Total Boat, but I've been using their two-part epoxy for just like laminating scales together and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I've just given that some thought. Now, I suppose what you could do, if you've got a piece where maybe a pin or a dowel wouldn't really work in it, what I've seen people do in the past is almost grind at an angle. So rather than flats against flats, almost like a dovetail. So the pieces that are using pins are sort of dovetailing the rest in so they can't pop out that way as well.
Talk about a ball ache.
It is a ball ache, but it would give you more of a surface area for that glue as well, rather than just, you know, flat against flat.
Right.
A possible idea, yeah.
But, I mean, everything's locked in. Like, when the Color Lab, when I do my stripe, and then you're locked in at 3 points, you know? Mm. And it's like, there's much more contact of glue. It's not just, like, floating.
Yeah.
And I've been pretty abusive with them, and I've never had anything kind of fall apart. So, one thing I will say is I think that pins, if you're using wood, I don't like just straight pins without any riveting. I don't like them. I think that if it's wood and there's expansion, the pin doesn't move, and then the wood moves and stuff like that, even if it's stabilized. I either like mechanical fastening, like Corby bolts, or I don't really trust straight pins, like just rods and stuff like that.
Yeah, with wood, you see that you can run your nail across it, and you can see where if it's, you know, it's either, usually the wood expands,
right?
So there's a gap there with it. Yeah, it can be a bit of a pain. Right. Yeah. Okay. Voldo Weiss has got a question. It's a good one. This. I'm still very much at the beginning of my knife making career, but I'm thinking about a good name for my company. A lot of the makers just go with their good old last name, then knives. But I'm from Austria, not the one with the kangaroos. And my name is very German, so I'm unsure if that's suitable for selling knives internationally, since a lot of my customers speak English. Would it be better just invent a name with the risk of it not immediately being associated with my person? That's a good question because, yeah, we see so many have, you know, well, Fader Knives and Mo Massey and all the rest of it. It's a good idea, but I mean, he says he's Austrian, but his name is very German. I mean, there's a certain quality with German naming anywhere, but where people have, unless it's Hitler, obviously. But we don't want to go there. But you know, when people think of German manufacturing, you think of a certain quality. So I don't know what. I'm guessing your name is Weiss. Actually, looking at it's from Waldo Weiss. That could maybe work. I mean, a vice is something that we use in the industry anyway. That's a good question, whether to use your name or to go with a sort of brand name. And in fact, it's something that I wish I'd given more thought to. I was pretty stoked when I got the name Chop because it was owned by somebody else and I approached them and we did a little bit of a deal to get the name. But Googling Chop, which is, you know, something that you do with a knife can yield loads and loads of results before they can get to yours. Whereas if I just use my name, I'm pretty sure that would be more searchable. It's definitely something to consider. But the last name of knife seems to be the way to go.
What's interesting is the funny thing is like German knives have German names.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Wusthof. I don't know if that's German or not, but like Wenger and... You know, there's a very strong history with like high quality knives that come from Germany. I mean, you don't hear about like, you know, you hear about Western knives, you hear about German chef knives or French chef knives. You don't really hear about like, I mean, no offense, but you don't hear a lot about, you know, Spanish chef knives from
Bulgarian.
Whatever. I mean, you don't hear like as much as you would like a French chef knife or a German.
Yeah.
I think that what's interesting is when I came up with Fader Knives, I had to be, part of me wishes it wasn't my name because it's going to be harder to sell this motherfucker if the time comes, and I don't think it will. But what I was gearing for was trying to attach myself to this knife making because of my history as a sculptor or my history of doing other things. And I was really trying to make it the business kind of wrapped around me and my history. So I didn't really have a choice, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that it's helped. It's helped separate me out from other, makers. But if you look at perfect examples, Florentine Kitchen Knives. Tomer, his name is not, I mean, he's intrinsic to the company.
Yeah.
But like, unless you know that, you wouldn't really know. So like, if he wanted to, you know, do something with somebody else, he could. However, I mean, it's his company, but it's not Botner Knives.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I'm looking at your name again, which I believe to be Weiss, Waldo Weiss. It doesn't have to be spelled that way. If I'm thinking of one of my favorite brands is Hyatt Denim, and they make jeans, and the founder is David Hyatt. But he spells it differently for the brand just because it's quite difficult to pronounce the way he normally spells it. So he's just simplified it. So it's the same word. And in your case, it would really work because, as I say, Weiss. So, you know, Weiss Blades or Weiss Knives would really work if you spelled Weiss, not like your name, but, you know, V-I-C-E. Just as one idea. Yeah, it is. Naming is so difficult, especially now. You've got to make sure you've got all the handles for all the social media and your website and all the rest of it. You know, seeing what's available there as well. It can be so, so difficult. But it's one of those things, once you're in, you've got to be all in, you know?
Yeah.
And 5 years down the line, you think, oh, damn, I wish it was something else. And it's difficult to change, so, you know.
And just to let you know, my name is a German name. So I have a German name. I mean, Fader is German for the word feather.
Oh, really?
A feather.
Right.
Yeah, I guess it was...
Jeff Adolf Fader. Okay.
No, fuck it. Come on, man. Hey! But it was, you know, it's the German word for feather. And I guess, you know, for pen makers or hat makers or something like that. So feather. I could have gone with feather knives, but that's lame.
Yeah.
Feather knives. That's terrible.
Oh, I don't know. I know. Feared worse.
I can't believe you called me. I mean, my whole ancestry rolled over. You called me Jeffrey Adolf.
Two Hitler jokes in one question. That's raw. I'm sorry, Valdo. I'm very sorry.
You're like fucking Kanye West. I mean, you're like unbelievable. Liver King and Kanye West. I'm the king. I would rather be the liver king. I don't know. I guess I don't know.
My bad. I don't know.
Let's keep rolling, baby.
Like eating balls. Yeah. Go on then. You find one more question and then we'll head out.
Okay. And then we can do, we have a couple other things.
Good news stories, yeah.
Randy Reichert says, huge fan of the podcast. As a maker, would it be a good idea to offer satisfaction or money-back guarantee on the knives I sell? How about taking a layaway payment on more expensive knives? Just wondering if any of you guys do this. Keep up the good dick jokes.
Well, the layaway payments, a lot of, I know you can do it with Squarespace now. They'll use like a third party. So basically, you as the maker, you get paid in full immediately. The customer will then pay this third party company. And I think that's built into the checkout now, which you can just enable on Squarespace, for example. I'd imagine you could on Shopify and Wix and all the others as well. That is an option that people could be doing. It just sounds like a lot more admin.
The layaway part?
Yeah, yeah. You know, people, you don't want people emailing you saying, oh, I'm having a tough week, a tough month. Could we double up next month? And it's just all, you know, it just makes, to me, it just sounds...
A lot of work.
If people can't afford it, you want them going on the hock to get one of your knives. It's a little bit dirty to me, so I'm not a fan of it.
At the same time, it's like, what are you buying an expensive custom-made knife? if you like
exactly,
you know,
if they can't afford it, they shouldn't be. You know, no, I'm not saying they shouldn't be. It's none of my business, but I don't want it to be part of my business. I suppose that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, what do you think of the satisfaction guaranteed or your money back?
It's difficult. I mean, you want to fix any problems people have, but saying satisfaction guaranteed is. That's opening you up to a can of worms. I think you need some T's and C's there at least. We talked about it last week. I've had people put them in, you know, really wanting a carbon steel knife. They put them in dishwashers and things like that. And you're like, well, you know,
yeah.
I'll stand by my work, but not by stupidity, you know.
Well, but at the same time, it doesn't happen that often.
It doesn't happen that often, but, you know, it can be a problem if it were to. And, you know, it's difficult.
I think it's very important that you stand by your work. Mm. And I don't really do, this is our policy, this is our policy. If someone's got an issue, I say send it back. No questions asked. Because it doesn't happen that often.
Yeah.
You know, I still have guys who every year they say, do you think you could fix this thing? And I say, yes. Here's my address. Send it to me. And then the next year rolls around. I get the same email. And I said, I told you. I'll take care of it. Here's my address. 3 years in a row, this one guy. And he just, I'm not going to call him up. I'm not going to go pick the knife up.
Yeah.
I'm saying to him, like, here's my address. You send it to me. I will get it back to you fast and I'll take care of it. And I want you to be happy. And the most important thing is, I think that there's, especially with most people aren't like flea bags. And I think it's very important to be as honest and open and as helpful as you can. And also to, and it is good. It is good. PR when people say, oh yeah, this guy took care of me.
Mm. I think satisfaction guarantee, I think that phrase is just so open-ended. And that's what I think my issue is with it. I think you'd need to be a bit more specific with it, you know? you know, we talked last week about, you know, some dude who was, you know, getting knives and saying there was an issue with it and claiming the money back on PayPal and doing this professionally, you know, not professionally, but doing this as a matter of fact, and he'd do it with a bunch of makers. You know, you can see people like that maybe seeking out people who are quite openly saying.
I think that's, I'm gonna say that has to be few and far between.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure
I know that, like, I know that things where it's a little bit more, I mean, it's funny because we make jokes about whether or not it's art or not. There's a little bit more leeway with design decisions. Mm. And then say, like, you know, what the Broadbeck guys have, they have something very specific. Like, if the wheel goes out, you replace the wheel.
Yeah.
That's different than, like, an aesthetic design.
Yeah, if it doesn't feel right, just send it back. Yeah.
Yeah, look, I've had one guy back in the day, he just sent it back. He said, "It's not for me." And I'm like, "I'll give you your money back."
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so.
Okay. Well, I tell you what we need to talk about is the sandpaper that we use. As boring as it sounds, a good sandpaper makes a hell of a difference. Oh. It'll save you time. It'll save you money. And we use Indasa Rhino-Wet because they are awesome. They are also, honestly, if you haven't used it before, just buy some. It'll change your life. And that's not me just saying that because they're a sponsor. I promise you, it was a game changer. You can get it from Texas Farrier Supply, which is texasfarriersupply.com. And they sell more than just Rhino-Wet. They sell everything you need as a knife maker. Go take a look, texasfarriersupply.com. Use Knife Talk 10 when you check out, and you'll get 10% off your entire order. Not bad at all.
Not bad. Let me just do a little bit of talking about the new bit that's going to come up in the new year.
Yeah.
And then we'll do some getting ready for the all beef review. We'll read off a few beefs, and then we'll just do some weird news. And then, does that sound good?
Sounds good to me.
All right, guys. Listen, I had this idea that came up to me that I thought would be fun for the podcast. You know, we do tough dilemmas and questions and stuff like that. We're doing a new bit in the new year. It's going to be called Why Me? Why Me? Why Does This Always Happen to Me? Okay? And the idea is you are a knife maker, and there's something that you do, and you just don't know why. It doesn't come out exactly the way you want it to. So you're going to, like, here's an example. When I do the satin finish, I see these lines, and they're just deeper than I expect, and other guys make a much nicer finish. What am I doing wrong? Why does this always happen? Maybe it doesn't have to be the worst thing in the world. Maybe it's just like, this always happens to me. Why does this always happen to me? Yep. Or like when we were talking before, when you're talking about, I know exactly what you're saying when you use the Tormek, and sometimes you'll end up taking a little bit more off the tip than you expect. Why does that always happen to me? Or when you're hand sanding, why does it always happen that I'm, you know, the crispy edge of the tip of the knife doesn't work? So we're going to CSI, or we're going to analyze your question and try to figure out what the problem is. So DM us. Why me? Why me? Why does this always happen to me? It could be anything. It could be anything, and then we'll try to figure out the problem. We'll diagnose it. It'll be little diagnoses.
Yeah. And remember, Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram to send those through.
And we have a lot of... We're going to do the All Beef Review, which is coming up. But if you don't know, the All Beef Review is the year-end, whatever's grinding your gears, whatever's driving you crazy. It could be about knife making. It could be about life. It could be about... apparently... the big problem is people's driving. People have a big problem with driving. Send us your beefs, and we will read them off. And it is by far my favorite. Well, it's my second favorite show. I like the Damage Seal Invitational, but here are some beefs from 2020. This one comes from, I read some from last week. This is Dr. Poo. No, Dr. Pood. Dr. Pood. Dr. Pood says, here's my beef. Having to spend my days at my, quote, real job thinking for other people. I work in retail establishments. The number of times I've had to think for idiots and the number of clueless knuckleheads is astonishing. For example, all right, it's fine. Yeah, he don't like the people. And then here's another one. This is from Lame Key Knives. Here's my beef. People who are all about, quote, the grind. What the fuck? I enjoy a good grind like the next guy, but I also like to slide it in every so often. You know what I'm saying? Take it easy. Life is short and beautiful. Don't forget to smell the roses, spend time with your immediate family, and take a load off. Love you guys.
Perfect beef.
Mick Cutler says, here's my beef. I don't have the energy to have a beef.
He's old and fucked. Yeah. Not 31 like you, Jeff.
Yeah. And then here's JVB Knives says, here's another beef. Customers complaining to me about other knife makers. It's none of my business, by the way. And then another beef. People commenting on my knife post saying that people shouldn't pay that much for a knife. And begin posting links to other sites. So you could be about anything. It could be really legitimately everything. Here's another one. Art of Craftsmanship says, hey, cuties, here's a beef for you. People who ask for the, quote, friends and family discount and then laugh like it's a joke. Also, people who don't read the descriptions and then ask questions that have already been answered or explained. Yeah. So send them in. Send them in your beefs. We've got a good long list so far. And we're looking forward to a... We're looking forward to the all beef review. It's always funny.
Always good. What's that? We are 3 weeks away from that. So it's always it's always the last show of the year, isn't it?
Yeah.
So a sort of New Year show, I suppose.
We already have some. I'll just read off. I won't read off some of the new ones. But Colorado Bruce has got a good one in there. Neil Warren. I see Will Miller's in there. Justin Stinson. Magic Knives. Speedster. There's a couple anonymous ones. I love the anonymous ones. They're always afraid someone's going to recognize them. Yeah, so send in your beefs. We're going to have a good all beef review.
Awesome. So. Awesome. Okay, what's in the news then, Jeff? What's been, tickling your balls this week?
My dear balls. Fucking Liver King. I love Liver King. So this is a weird podcast news stories, and I'll read you some things, and then you can decide what you want to do. You know what the TSA is, right?
Yeah, the
security at the airport. Yeah. Handgun found inside a raw chicken at the luggage at the airport.
What? First of all, why are you taking a raw chicken through?
There you go. Any time I read a question and they ask, you got to read it. Yeah. Fort Lauderdale, Florida, security officers at a South Florida airport have reported finding a handgun inside a raw chicken packed in traveler's luggage. The TSA posted photos of the gun and poultry Monday in its official Instagram account. The weapon was recovered at the Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport. The post didn't identify the traveler who was transporting the weapon or whether any arrests were made. According to DSA, fresh meat, seafood, and other non-liquid items are permitted in both carry-on and check bags as long as they're packed in ice. Unloaded firearms are allowed to be transported in check bags, but they got to be declared. So this fucking person thought the X-ray machine will never see this fucking gun in the chicken.
Yeah.
So. Tramp stamp tattoos originated by ancient Egyptians for birth magic.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, you don't sound too excited about that. Oh. Painful stinging fire ants are raining down on Hawaii's residents.
Stinging fire ants.
Fire ants.
Oh, go on.
Just when you thought a Hawaiian getaway may be the cure to your seasonal depression, officials issued a warning over an infestation of fire ants, warning residents of an ant rain. Hawaiian officials are warning that ants are falling from the sky because they're bad at gripping and will fall from trees and plants, causing them to rain down on people and sting them. It's the island's largest infestation of fire ants to date, and the Hawaiian government office noting the dire effects that can have on the island in an official statement. They can produce painful stings, large welts, and cause blindness in pets.
Wow.
They build up large colonies on the ground and in trees and other vegetation inside buildings and homes. Completely overrun. They can overrun a property. Answered from native of South America, they're considered among the worst invasive species.
Blindness, Jesus Christ!
Yeah, can you imagine?
That reminds me. Actually, we got builders here, and one of the jobs that they're doing is we've got the house. Like I say it's way over 200 years old, and we've got these old beams that hold the house up, and they're exposed down on the ground floor. So we've got a builder here, and his job is to spray them with this stuff that is like toxic. It just kill anything that touches these beams. So like my wife and I were like, right, we need to like move to another part of the house while they do this, maybe for a day or two, so the fumes won't affect us and stuff like that. Anyway, the builder's here, and he's using this like pressurized like garden sprayer thing,
right?
It just exploded all over in his face, in his eyes, everywhere. God. He did not give a fuck. Outside, cigarette straight into his mouth. Oh, I'll be fine, he said. And he just carried on throughout the day. He was just like...
Just covered in foam.
Just covered... Well, it's not foam. It's like a liquid.
God.
And you just think... He's got no, like, care about himself, you know? Just, you know, not even like run to the shower, get it all off him quickly. Just nothing. He's like, oh, fuck it, I'll be fine. So what's wrong with people?
I have an embarrassing ant story.
Okay.
When I was very, very young.
Did it climb inside, Jeff?
I'm about to tell you. So I was at a pool or something like that, and I was very young. I must have been like 5 or 6. This is a very, very vivid story. And there were my mother or somebody would tell me, be careful of the red ants. And I was like very worried about the red ants. And all of a sudden I went into the bathroom, pulled my pants down. I sat on the toilet and I saw this little red ant by my penis. And all of a sudden I looked at it. He looked up at me and bit my dick.
At you.
He looked up at me and I saw his pinchers just clamp down. And it was like, I started screaming. But the thing is like, it was like we had this moment. Me and his aunt had this moment before he just bit down on my dick. And I just fucking jumped off the toilet with my pants around my ankle, screaming about an ant on my penis. I swear to God, I remember the bathing suit I was wearing, and I just remember being like this. But there was this one moment that I definitely remember. I pulled my shorts down. He must have gotten in there, and then we looked at each other, and then he just fucking clamped down. It was terrible.
I'm having a piece of that.
Yeah, this is my size. It's 15-foot doomsday fish washes up on the beach. We're all going to die.
15-foot. No, go on.
It's a deep-sea harbinger of doom. Locals were flabbergasted after a 15-foot oar fish, which is rumored to be oh, my God, this thing really does look like it's out of a this is a terrible-looking fish. It's got a red fin I lost the whole thing. Hold on a second. The locals are flabbergasted after this 15-foot oar fish, which is rumored to be the signs of the impending earthquake, drifted ashore on the beaches of Chile. A video of the alleged oceanic bad omen is currently making waves online as viewers worry about the possible seismic event.
Jeez.
The massive oar fish, which is the world's largest bony fish, capable of growing 56 feet long, washed up on the coast of Isla Talcon in Chile's Desortes Islands. Footage captures the tremor-predicting denizen of the deep, which is a silver scale, a fiery orange tassel head. Head.
Prehistoric.
Do you see the pictures of it?
No.
Oh, the earthquake is coming, says one tweeter. We're all going to die. You don't have to believe me, but in Chile, that fish is a bad omen, a viewer says. This thing looks... I'm going to send this to you.
Yeah. Jeez. I tell you what, I used to sail a lot, and, you know, deep water, you know, I'm fine with it. But when you see these, like, videos of people swimming, and all of a sudden you see it, this, like, deep, deep, deep water below them, it just freaks me out a little bit. You just think, what the hell is down there?
I have another story of something pinching me.
Go on.
I was in the ocean in the Sound, in Connecticut, and I put my hand down and a crab bit in between my hand, and I lifted my hand up and the crab was on my hand.
You
could not get me back in the water. So
I'm just looking at this now, 15-foot oar fish, and they go to a 56-foot. Like me.
Yeah, big.
It's like an eel.
Terrible. All right, so here we got some more. Let me know the last ones are the best. I'm going to read them off, and then you just say if you want it or not.
Go on.
I fell 33 feet while snapping a selfie. A hospital left me laying in my own feces and blood.
Move on.
teen left with severe burns on the face after an unconventional haircut goes wrong. Have you seen these barbers who are using fire to cut hair?
No, go on. Tell me that one.
All right. It's not the sideburns he was hoping for. Alarming footage captured the moment an unconventional flame haircut literally and perhaps surprisingly backfired, leaving a teen with severe burns. I'm sending you this one to this fucking guy. Sometimes you'll see these on Instagram. The inflammatory fiasco occurred on October 27th after an unnamed 18-year-old went to a barbershop in India. He had gone to get an unconventional procedure called the fire haircut, where hairdressers use fire instead of scissors to style a person's hair like a cosmetically controlled burn. Unfortunately, the teen's bakeover went up in smoke. In an accompanying
I can see the picture now. Jesus Christ.
The barber can be seen striking a match on a comb in a preparation for the hot-headed haircut. However, things go south when a customer's head goes into flames, a la the superhero Ghost Rider. The clip ends with the barber trying to beat the boy's smoldering head with a towel, but to no avail. If you ever see these videos, these dudes just start like beating the shit out of their head to kind of put it out. Yeah. But with all that mousse and stuff, I think it's just, and your hair is just so flammable.
Mousse. You put a mousse in your hair back in like the 90s.
The boy reportedly was left with severe burns in his neck and chest during this pyro ponytail. I have another story. This reminded me of when I was in summer camp, my friends used to try to light their own farts.
Oh, yeah.
And this one friend of mine had really furry jeans that just came out of the dryer.
Yeah.
And his whole, he let out this light. I mean, it was like, you'd see people lighting farts and you really wouldn't think too much of it. Yeah. But this one was like, he had his legs over his head. I'm thinking about this fucking asshole. He's got his legs over his head. He's holding his lighter. He's sort of spreading it open and he lets out this ridiculous fart and it's just like, and then this, he engulfs his jeans in fart fire.
Oh.
And it was fucking unbelievable. And I was like, I'm never going to light a fart.
People are so stupid. I mean, yeah, I need a haircut. I know what I'll do. I'll set fire to my head.
Like, hey, you know what could be? We don't know what'll help. Maybe I'll fart on your head too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. A man stuck with a $70 bill for pay-per-view porn his dog accidentally ordered.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Should we read that one real quick?
And then go on, yeah, yeah.
Talk about a horn dog. A North Carolina man was stuck with a hefty bill after his innocent-looking Bichon Frise ordered a pricey adult service on his owner's satellite TV, the Mirror reported. The owner, Thomas Barnes, I don't know why they say their fucking names.
I know, yeah, exactly. Total humiliation.
The owner, Thomas Barnes of the Raleigh area, had to dispute a $70 charge with DirecTV after his literal horn dog, Marino, managed to order the Hustler channel back in 2019. Barnes' impression of the incident is that Marino had hopped on the bed and inadvertently hit the wrong buttons with his paws. Minutes later, the owner had an embarrassing phone call to make. Despite Barnes, a 58-year-old on Social Security disability at the time, was assured that the charge would be reversed. The Steamy channel remained active, so he called again and again, no avail.
Did this story get out? Did this guy phone up the newspaper to tell him his story?
You're like, never going to guess what happened to me. My dog ordered porn.
Idiot. Absolute idiot. Right.
I'm going to read you off a couple. The last one I would suggest would be there's missing grandma found in a huge python. There's cobra bites
wait,
boy.
Wait, missing grandma. Yeah. Yep. We need to hear that one, yeah.
Let me give you a few of them and then you make a decision. Okay. There's also cobra bites boy and the boy bites the cobra back and kills the snake. There's the 8 most disgusting jobs that people have to do. There's baby names that are reportedly banned in America and what to know. There's also reportedly calls for Halloween decoration ban because keep out bathroom sign confused her. And then the last but not least is the mom is horrified after a cat comes home with anal beads in his mouth. That's got to be the last one.
Go on, go on.
Which one do you want? One more and then the anal beads, or
I want the grandma in a snake, and I want the anal beads in a cat. Right.
This might not be as funny as I'm hoping it's going to be. Missing grandma vanished after a walk. 54-year-old went for a walk in Indonesia to collect rubber in a nearby forest. Concerned around why we're laughing. I mean, it doesn't sound like it's going to get
this is a
real
life thing. People do.
Concerned relatives reported her missing when she didn't return from the jungle. Search parties organized by locals began searching through the dense woods. Soon afterwards, residents and police stumbled on a 7-meter-long python with grandma inside its swollen tummy. The mammoth python was spotted with this giant bulge in its belly in a clearing among the trees while they were hunting. 2 days after her disappearance, the snake's stomach was sliced open and their worst fears were confirmed.
Jesus
the 50-year-old
Christ.
I'm almost 54, for Christ's sakes. I don't know why they say grandma. Maybe she was... she's not old and feeble at 54. Let's hope. Missing grandma swallowed whole by the python.
Oh, that's terrible.
They found the grand curled up inside the bloated snake before... both the snake and her were discovered in a blue tarpaulin sheet. Her body was largely intact, and her clothes, and so was her clothes. Clothes were eaten. Clothes were there. So,
That was terrifying.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Okay, cat with anal beads. Go for
it. You got it, big guy. This one comes from the Daily Record in the UK, obviously. Rachel Masterson's kleptomaniac cat Demo has become somewhat of a local celebrity for the random things he brings back as, quote, gifts for his owner. A mum was left horrified after a caught cat brought home a sex toy, leading to an awkward conversation with her 12-year-old son. Rachel Masterson's kleptomaniac cat Demo has become somewhat of a local celebrity. The four-legged thief has previously dragged home gloves, a watering can, even floral tributes from the graveyard behind the home. Oh. However, the 3-year-old pet recently stepped up his game when he came to the door, which what appeared to be anal beads in his mouth.
Jesus.
Rachel, who lives in Wales, here you go. This is Welsh news. Caldecott.
Caldecott, yes.
Right, his neighbor?
Yeah, it's South Wales, yeah.
Okay, oh, good. You made that. All of a sudden, I'm thinking maybe you know this woman. Oh. Who lives in South Wales was left mortified. She realized that the risque item was, she realized what it was and the awkward questions from her son when he also spotted it. As always, if it belongs to you, just inbox me, she says. So she could write notes saying, I found something of yours. Just let me know if it's yours. Rachel added, Demo's been bringing gifts home for the last couple of years, but on Monday I was on the phone with my sister when he turned up at the door. At first I thought it was one of those car air freshener things. They showed my sister and she picked it up and her sister said, oh, Rachel, that's definitely not an air freshener. It took me a minute once I realized what it was. I was absolutely horrified.
Brilliant.
I had my 12-year-old son ask me what it was, and I was mortified. Miss Masters said, people stop me in the shop and ask if the cat's owner that if I'm the cat's owner that steals everything. She's absolutely bonkers, honestly. She's taken flower arrangements and cards from graveyards behind the house before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ah, so. Welsh cats for you. What can you say?
Other two cats, Bibble 3 and Pepe, just bring back the usual things like mice, whereas Demo gets the weirdest stuff.
Bibble 3. So there's been a Bibble 1 and 2 before.
There's Bibble, 3, and Pepe. Those are the cat's names. Gotcha. There's no way I can stop her. Everyone keeps saying that we should put a GoPro on her. Guess what you'll find.
Not with the beads.
I mean, let's just hope that he just found those beads. He can just, like, take them off somebody.
Pick them out. With that, that's the show. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back stronger and 33% better with Mareko joining us again next week. Until then, speak to you then. Bye-bye. There we go. That was a good show. It was good.
Yeah,
all funny stuff.
I fucking love those shows.
Yeah. What have you been watching? What have you been into?
I haven't been watching anything. I tell you, funny. I had Ben Camon on, Full Blast, and I read Austrian weird stories. Hmm. And the funny part was like every weird Austrian story he'd already known. He knew all about it. It was like there was one about this town called Fucking that they're stealing the signs, and there's this other one where the other one was about this guy who got a fine for farting in the direction of the police, and the police. Didn't like that he farted at him. Ben knew all about it. Yeah. He's like, Austria.
There's not
Austria
much news in Austria. Yeah.
Austria is a very small state. We know all this stuff. It's a big news. So what have I been watching? I haven't been watching anything.
I was forced into watching today the Harry and Meghan fucking Netflix documentary.
Is it,
which was actually brilliant. It was. Just
is
like,
it
oh,
good?
Wow. It is. It is. So they released 3 hours this week, and there's 3 hours next week. It's all sort of. You want them to say stuff, really, about the royal family, but they're not. They're just slagging off the media, really. But I don't know. It's quite sweet, actually, their story, and you know, they seem genuine.
Do you know that whole weird thing with Piers Morgan and her?
He's just a horrible shit, anyway. And he's got this thing against her.
Well, apparently he tried to date her.
Really?
They went on a date together, like that early. And she just kind of like blew him off.
Yeah.
And ever since then, he's just been fucking crazy at her. It's like totally unreasonable.
Yeah. And there's the whole thing, obviously, with the royal family as well with that, because he was the editor of one of the biggest newspapers here in the UK. And the royal family and the media, there's this whole big thing that's been going on for years and years where they've been, you know, tapping their phones and getting spies in palaces and all that kind of stuff. He's just a horrible shit, you know, and... Yeah, it's very strange. Very
Dear
strange.
Cyprus, we apologize for the segment. If you're from Cyprus, you're offended by the segment, Cyprus, sorry, man.
He's still listening. He's still listening.
He's there. He's our boy. Our boy from Cyprus is still there.
Yeah. Let's call it a day. And
the biggest news of all time. I mean, it doesn't matter to you, but the Yankees just paid Aaron Judge. Listen to this. $360 million for 9 years, a 9-year contract. He's going to make $40 million a year to play baseball.
Jesus Christ.
This is the biggest news in New York right now. Everyone is like, I mean, it's like a ticker tape parade.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I mean, it's like football. Football's on $80 million a year and stuff over here.
$40 million a year. And now the Yankees now have three guys on the team who are all making over $300 million in their contracts.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
It's amazing. And then there's another team.
$1 billion for three players.
There was another team who was willing to pay $400 million for 10 years, which only is just adding one more year to the contract.
Yeah.
But it's like...
It's the same over here with football, or soccer players, as you'd call them. They're regularly on $60-70 million a year, and that's just from the club. They also then get endorsements from Nike or Adidas or whatever it may be, which can easily match that as well. So they're on millions a week for playing 90 minutes a week.
The crazy thing is I used to be one of those guys who'd be like, oh, they should be paying teachers more, and I agree. Hmm. But like these people are generating so much money for the teams.
Yeah.
They have these incredible, I mean, it's like, it's just exponentially growing and they all want to be the most paid and it is fascinating.
Yeah. Absolutely crazy. We're in the wrong game.
I mean, I'm too old. I mean, what, I'm 31.
31. The head of a 31-year-old, it said.
Head of a 31-year-old.
There we go. That's this week's title. Head of a 31-year-old. There we go.
All right. There you go. Good
okay,
job.
Right. Good speaking to you. We should speak again next week.
Always look forward to it.
Bye for now. Okay.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.